Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Dutcher and Rich. There were people reporting that Jason Tatum, along with some other guys that are in line to get max deals next season, were reluctant to go to Orlando and play. And I thought that that was a major character defect. I thought that if you were going to build your organization around someone, that their number one priority should be winning a championship. That I could understand getting insured for COVID or something like that, but if it's for injury or being hesitant to play because or winning your contract early in case you got hurt, I think that that is a flaw that great people that strive to be the best in their profession don't lean on that. But A'Sherrod Blakely comes along. He covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. A'Sherrod, you are saying that it's not true. Tatum is not hesitating to go down there.
Good morning to you. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's up, A'Sherrod? Hey. Good having you on again.
Let's get the pleasantries out of the way and get to the good stuff. Tatum is like a lot of players right now when you look at this reboot, and they're looking at all the different factors that have to come into play before they really feel comfortable going down there. But his contract is not one of those major factors, because here's the thing. Tatum is going to get a max deal whether he goes down there or not. Tatum is going to get a max deal whether he gets hurt or not. You look at Kevin Durant, that did not stop Brooklyn or, frankly, any other team that Kevin Durant had some interest in giving him a max contract. Now, obviously, Tatum is not him, but when you look at what Tatum has done at this point in his career, you look at the fact that from a statistical standpoint, he's steadily gotten better. You look at his age. You look at the way he has just blossomed year after year. To the point where he's the face of the franchise right now. No disrespect to Kimball, but this is Tatum's team. There's no reason in the world that he has to worry about a max contract. People I spoke with yesterday regarding Tatum, the bigger concern for him is the COVID-19 and the fact that they're going into a bubble in a state where it's the positive tests are pretty damn big compared to the rest of the country. And so that's the bigger concern for him, and I think a lot of those players.
Because they're in such a – there's such an unlikely group to have, you know, massive negative or really negative effects from the virus. You know, their demographic and their health and age, it seems that, like – you know, if they got it, the chances of it getting very serious are infinitesimal. That's still concerning them, though.
Well, it has to be, because, you know, even if, not only are they thinking about themselves, but they're also thinking about family members, loved ones who they could potentially come in contact with. I know I spoke with someone yesterday, not directly tied in with Tatum's situation, but they pointed out how if you are on a team that makes a deep playoff run and you start to bring in family members to that bubble, you are potentially exposing them to a greater potential of catching the virus, because they'll be in such an enclosed environment. And if some of those loved ones have, you know, pre-existing conditions that make them more susceptible to the virus, you have to think about whether you're going to bring them there or not. And if you're competing for a championship, and this is maybe the first time and maybe the only time you ever get that opportunity, you want your loved ones to be there and share in that moment, and you may have to bypass that for health and safety reasons. So those are some of the things that players are giving, you know, some level of thought to. But the contract situation, when you look at the guys that you're talking about that are supposedly reluctant, There's no reason for them to be reluctant about getting hurt because they're going to get that money back. That Brinks truck is coming to Jason Tatum's house. The Brinks truck is coming to Donovan Mitchell's house, whether they play, whether they get hurt or not.
Okay, so you make a good point. I mean, as far as him getting injured, you know, I think that most people would believe that he would still be able to, because as you said, just like with Kevin Durant, I think that Danny would still end up giving him a max contract. But there is an interesting twist to all this, and that is now talk about potentially extending these guys before the postseason starts. Do you think maybe the reason they're doing that is they're worried about there being a potential un-team, un-player-friendly change to the CBA because of what happened during this season and the loss of the money that they ended up having to give up?
I think that is definitely an element that's going to come into play. There's no doubt about that. The money going forward has to be scrutinized as far as what makes the most sense for the players, what makes the most sense for the league. The other thing you also have to take into account is the calendar and how if you have a atypical end to the season as far as when it does end, then you have to have an atypical start for the next cycle. I think there's concern that there will be some overlap. And if you're a guy like Jason Tatum and Donovan Mitchell, you'd much rather get this taken care of sooner rather than later if all sides involved think you're a max player.
Yeah, because, I mean, everything could change after, you know, during this very short offseason. So I think that that's also kind of part of this whole push to get this. You know, and do you think Danny would ever do that? Sign Jason Tatum I guess all the teams would have to agree to be able to do that, to change the rules. But do you think that the Celtics would be on board with a push to be able to sign players before the postseason?
Well, if you're talking about a guy like Jason, we're talking about him specifically, and absolutely, because that's what they're going to do anyway. All it would simply be doing was just pushing up the timetable as far as when they would officially make that happen. And if the rest of the owners and the league as a whole and the players union agree to do that, then the Celtics, they would not stand in the way of that. They would love to lock up the guy that they were planning to lock up anyway. I think it becomes more complicated for teams that are looking to add players from other teams. For them, it becomes a much more dicey proposition.
Okay, very dangerous. Very dangerous game to go in there. You set a precedent that if I'm an owner, I'm saying absolutely not. You're setting a precedent that is not something that I'm excited to do over the rest. I mean, you say you could get hurt and then you still get a max deal. But again, if I have you under contract and we're going to negotiate after the season and you rip up your leg, I don't want to have to pay you a max contract. I think it sends a bad message that they're going to lock you up before all that.
But the whole injury dynamic is one that, regardless of when you sign a contract, it's going to be out there. I mean, even if you sign it during the normal period in which you can do that and you go out and get hurt right after that, they're still in a hook for that.
Yeah. So it buys the time too, Fred. But also, if you're the league right now, you realize that the money might go down. So you could, like after the postseason's over, you could still sign Jason Tatum to a max contract, but you might not be spending as much as you would have if you signed it to him before the postseason. So why would you push for that? You still give him what he wants, which is, in name, the most amount of money we can give you. It's just not as much as it would have been if we would have signed you before the postseason. You see what I mean?
Yeah, either way, though. I mean, the bottom line is, at the end of the day, he's the guy that they're going to re-up and give him a max deal. It's just a matter of when it's going to be and how much it'll be for.
Okay, so Aisharod, you have covered both Kendrick Perkins and Kyrie Irving. Now, Kyrie Irving's one of these guys, I've said it before, he'll start speaking and it'll seem to make sense. Like, you know, kind of what we heard him talking about, the social issues, and then all of a sudden his brain will explode.
Ditch.
And it'll be like, I want to start my own league. It's like, you know, kind of like when a kid is, you know, telling a, like, almost like a lie. It starts off good and then it just gets all insane. And a lot of people are obviously, you know, calling him out. Matt Barnes said something about, you know, him starting his own league and laughing about that. But Kendrick Perkins has made ripping on Kyrie Irving an art. Like, he's all in.
It's got
on
it's
Kyrie
gotten
Irving.
Personal, is what it's got.
I love Kendrick Perkins. But can you kind of shed some light on why does he go all in on Kyrie so much? Like, was there something there that you, some relationship that you know, or something that's, you know, like, where does that stem from? Because it does almost seem personal between those two. Hello?
Well done.
That's what I get for a long-ass winded question.
Well done, Rich. He was all in on that answer.
Maybe he fell asleep sitting up or something like that.
Nick's getting him back.
I waited until the commercials to do that.
No, I still say it stems from Perkins' time in Oklahoma City, where he became good friends with Durant. Durant is feeding him information on Kyrie about that conference call with the Brooklyn Nets that got Perk all riled up. And then Durant's like, well, you weren't supposed to tell the media that, and called him a sellout afterwards.
We have Sherrod back on. All right. Hey, Sherrod, what part of my awesome question did you drop out on?
As soon as you said Kyrie Irving's name, I was cut off.
It's Kyrie's behind
you. You can kind of guess what we're getting at, though, can't you?
I just want to know. I want to know. Kyrie and Perk, like, it's gotten, like, personal with Kendrick Perkins. You've covered both Kyrie and Kendrick Perkins, and I love Kendrick Perkins. But, man, he is going all in on Kyrie Irving. Is there – can you shed some light on why it's gotten to almost the point where it's personal between Perkins and Kyrie?
I you know, something must have happened when those guys were in Cleveland where Perk saw some things and that he just did not like, and he could not let it go. And what I find most interesting about all of this is Perk has consistently gone at Kyrie, and from Kyrie's side of the equation, crickets. Not a word. Never does he go back at Perk. And yet Kevin Durant, on the other hand, he seems to be the one that's intervening, you know, playing the role of big brother for Kyrie and you know, going back at Perk. And those two, obviously former teammates as well, they go at each other too. The bottom line is this: Perk does not give a damn about who you are. He will go at you with absolutely no regard for, you know, the usual locker room politics of what stays here, what's said here stays here. Perk does not subscribe by that rule, and he's such a big man. Is anyone really going to tell him don't do it anymore? I don't think so.
I mean, what Perkins wrote yesterday on Twitter was great. So he wrote something and instantly pulled it down and then kind of corrected it and put a PG version. But the R-rated version was, mother effers better be cool and chill, because I honestly took it light on Kyrie today when I really could have exposed the ho S-word that he's doing on them phone conversations. Carry on. So somebody is leaking this stuff to Kendrick Perkins, and he's trying to just trying to blow it all up for Kyrie. And meanwhile, after that comment right there,
hang on real quick. What does he mean by that? Do you know?
Yeah.
Which part of that? Because there's a whole lot you got to understand.
Oh my God.
That cupcake. He said there was cupcake. And when he cleaned it up, he said the cupcake stuff he was saying on the phone conversation.
What does that mean?
Perk has his own language. Let's be honest and real. I mean, and very few of us can comprehend it. But my takeaway from the R-rated version was that there are some things that haven't been reported that Kyrie was saying that are just kind of even further out in left field than the stuff that we know that he says, that Perk has knowledge of but isn't going to reveal. And then I think once Perk gave the Perkins version of what he was thinking, I think someone got in his ear and said, Perk, you do know that you do TV now and you're kind of a public figure and you're no longer a player, so you might want to just kind of a couple modifications, a little tweakage here. And then we got the PG version, which was far cleaner, you know, more, as you said, PG-13 rated. And again, I just think Perk has intel that none of us know, and he is just kind of giving you a little teaser as to what that is without giving you the full meal, because I think there is a part of him that realizes that I can't really reveal everything that I know, but I can give the people a little bit of something.
Well, you're right, because it was great, because after Kendrick Perkins didn't make those comments, but the ones that, you know, we played earlier where he was on ESPN calling him a distraction, and that was posted on Instagram, and you're right, Kevin Durant tweeted it or commented underneath it, sellout to Kendrick Perkins. My whole point has been, if anyone would know what a sellout is, I would think that would be the guy who left Oklahoma City to go chase a ring because he couldn't do it, even though he was at Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. That's just my opinion, but you're right. It's like Big Brother coming in and protecting Kyrie Irving during all of this, which I find to be interesting. This whole angle.
Yeah, and just to see Perk and Durant go at each other, I'm not going to lie. I will take Perk because Perk, first of all, Perk has more receipts that are damning to Kevin Durant than vice versa. I mean, you can say what you want about Perk at his career. He was a solid NBA player who got a championship. But there's very little that Perk, you can look at Perk's career and say, that was a real snake in the grass type move that you did. That was real shady what you did. Now, can you say the same thing about Kevin Durant?
No way.
Let's put it this way. The fact that he has an ownership stake in a team where the mascot is a snake in Philadelphia, that's a bad look. Bad look. Bad look on so many levels. Just saying.
Okay, what, you got another one?
Well, I was just going to say, finally, what did you make of the awesome booklet that they came out with, 133 pages on how not to play doubles ping pong with people down in Orlando so you don't get COVID-19 while in the bubble? Did you enjoy that huge, massive War and Peace-sized pamphlet they threw out there?
You know what? After going through that, the one takeaway that I love more than anything else was the fact that they had a pecking order for which teams could stay in the best hotels. Oh, yeah. That was awesome. That was. I wish that once the NBA returns to full force, that if your team sucks, you can't stay at that 6-star restaurant on the road. You need to stay at a Motel 6. Work your ass up to where you deserve. You should not be getting great hotels when your team sucks.
There's a coach that did that, like in the NFL. Oh, God, who was it? This really happened where he was so pissed off at how his team was playing that he purposely, like on purpose, told the people who booked the hotel rooms to book him in one of the worst hotels in the city. So they would have to, like, no, they felt they were too pampered. God, who is that? But how great would that be, A. Sherrod, if that was
that
the case?
That would be awesome. That guy would be coach of the year. I don't give a damn if his team wins, goes 7-75. He's coach of the year if he can do that and his players continue to lose, because obviously that hotel stuff, it doesn't matter. And if it doesn't matter, why the hell are teams spending that money if your team sucks?
Yep. Why? I agree. Yep.
So
yep.
Awesome.
Well according to
I'm glad you asked me that.
It's great. According to Dan Roach, however, the Yacht Club, which was the bottom of the list, is his favorite place to play because you can walk to Epcot and it's the boat to the Hollywood Studios. So,
yeah, but do they have a DJ and ping pong and all those other mani-pedicure type things that players want? I don't think so.
Hey, Sherrod, what are the chances that a player actually goes into that rec room area?
Plays ping pong.
Oh, slim to none.
Yeah.
Yes, I was going to say.
I worry about the older players, because here's the thing. The young guys in the league, all they're going to do is sit in their damn rooms and play Fortnite, Call of Duty, and all that crap. So they're going to be good in a bubble. But if you're 27, 28 years old, and you're used to going on the road and hitting the town, getting something to drink, eat, and other nightlife entertainment activities that you partake in when you're not playing, what the hell are you going to do in Disney World?
Leave.
You're screwed.
If you're famous.
You're gonna be the one that's gonna get snitched on the hotline.
I'll say I'm a star. You not want to be into play in the playoffs? Okay, bye. All right, A. Sherrod Blakely from NBC Sports Boston. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
No problem, guys. Take it easy.
Always appreciate it. Thanks. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Here we go. What do you want to know? Want to flow with the flow and have some fun? Let's do it, guys. You take a step, and then you take a step, and then you shake your booty back and forth. Yeah. Hey.
You done found yourself sitting around, and now just sitting around.
I'm going to think of that today, and I'm just going to be confused, I think.
so many layers to peel back and discover, you know?
You know what? Here's why, John, that podcast is so glorious. Because it's an hour and 25 minutes long.
So we could dissect the entire thing.
He has to. I mean, isn't this everything we've dreamed of?
Yes.
Like they said, Ray Lewis, once a week, you have to speak by yourself for an hour and 25 minutes.
No one's going
to
edit you.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. You have exactly what we've always wanted. And why shouldn't he have? How did you find out he had a podcast?
So I had known about it for about a month, probably about a month and a half. I had seen a report that he was going to do it. And I kind of filed it away, and I had just forgotten about it until yesterday. I was going through some old emails, and I was like, oh, or like reminders. And I'm like, oh, my God, I haven't checked to see if this is here. And I went, oh, voila, my man has been busy. So there was like six or seven different episodes. Like, what do I do? It's like, you know, when they open up the door to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, I was like, oh, candy everywhere. Just I'll take this lollipop. I'll take this right. Ooh, which one shall I click on? And it was just the first one, and it was, you know, the mentality of a lion, and I couldn't have been happier. I just clicked on it. I'm like, all right, well, that is from the first 10 minutes of the first thing that I listened to on the first podcast that Ray Lewis made. And there was an hour and 10 minutes after that, and there were five other episodes that haven't even been listened to yet. So, I mean, he's giving us plenty of audio to farm. So I'm looking forward to this. This will be Ray Lewis Thursdays, possibly. Maybe we could start doing that, which would be fantastic.
I mean, get us through these dog days. But I'll tell you what, in the fall, it looks like there is going to be a culmination of all these sports coming to an end. And it will be, let's just put it this way, it's going to be a wild ride. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you that right now. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I mean, now you can kind of, like, where we kind of written it off, it looks like on, what, the 17th of July or the 19th of July, you're going to have baseball. So you're going to have baseball starting then. And then you're going to have basketball starting on the 30th. You're going to have football, the preseason stuff. I guess if they cut off two of those games, it'll probably be like the last week of August or the second last week of August. And somewhere, sooner or later, you're going to get hockey. Hopefully, they'll get their head out of their butts.
Hockey is going to play.
I know. But
I talked to Jaffe yesterday, and he said that he thinks that they want fans in the stands. He thinks that they're going to want fans in the stands. And I said, why do you think
that? In their one city? They can't do that.
In the two cities.
Yeah, but they I don't think that would be – well, I guess if neither team is in their hometown, because then it would create an unfair advantage if one of the cities
That's
had –
That's why they're moving them to the different sides of the – of the continent.
Can you imagine? I mean, if they actually do hold the thing in Toronto, which, as you correctly stated, Fred, that's got to be the odds-on favorite for the Western Conference to go to Toronto. You know, in Vegas, there are other things to do. People have places to gamble, whatever the case may be. But in Toronto, a hockey community, can you imagine if they tried to sell seats? There'd be people knocking ushers out to get in the door to watch this thing.
I bet you they sell seats.
Well, here's the weird part about all this. Pretty much almost any event that is selling tickets right now, like NASCAR and a couple of others, they're outdoors. So that's kind of the way they've gotten around this. I wonder, and I've been wondering this for a while, after Saturday's big rally that Donald Trump is doing, where 19,000 people are going to show up indoors to an arena, whether you believe that that is wildly irresponsible or you think that's perfectly fine.
The arena canceled everything else for the spring and summer. I don't know why you'd call it irresponsible.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that I don't care what your beliefs are one way or the other. I wonder if that's just going to affect people's perception as to whether it's A-OK to greenlight things like that, because they found almost a way to cover their ass,
right.
And that is before you get a ticket, you have to sign this waiver that says – I'm not going to sue if I get the coronavirus. Once again, there is a lot of ethical things to that, because if you get the coronavirus, you're not the only one that gets it. You spread it. But that's, as I say, take all of that out of it. And I'm wondering if people are going to see that happen. And, you know, it's kind of like in Jaws, where you saw one family out in the water. So all the other families are like, oh, yeah, I guess it's cool to go out there. I know that they told us there's a shark. But yeah, if there's one in there, we can all go in there. And I think I wonder if that's going to change the thinking of all of these other sports and the venues, because you see this on TV and it, you know, and you, there's now a waiver you can sign, so you have your ass covered.
I think that the NHL wants to have fans. I don't think they have any intention of selling the thing out. I think that they, you know, maybe split the stadium in half, kind of scatter people around.
It'll be interesting.
I believe that they want to, they want fans in, though.
It all depends on how things are at the time of the games, you know, and you really can't right now predict that. I mean, it doesn't look good, but who knows? Maybe this will all start getting to a point where it's manageable, and maybe there's a way that they've figured out. All I know is that everything I've read is that indoor stuff, it's really tough to protect yourself. Outdoor, it seems like, is you've got a mask, you're cool. Like, I mean, that almost every scientist is basically, if everyone's got a mask and they're mandatory and you're outdoors, fine. You can do what you want.
Then what's up with the 6 feet thing? I thought if you don't have a mask and you're 6 feet apart, you're cool.
You're supposed to. I mean, you're supposed to stay 6 feet, but I mean, even if you're outdoors.
If you're eating outdoors, I mean, you can't have a mask on.
Well, that's what the tables are 6 feet apart from each other. That's why outdoors they have that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that if you're 6 feet apart from someone outdoors, I mean, they tell you don't need a mask.
Yeah, I mean, right, if you're six feet. Right, but everything else, if you have a mask on and you're outdoors, you can do almost anything, and it really reduces the risk. Indoors is a completely different game, and that's why the NHL one is, it's interesting. So Jaffe said that he heard that somewhere, that they might try to get fans in?
Jaffe said that he thinks that they want, he didn't say he had heard it, he said he thinks that they want fans. That they're going to want fans at the games.
Boy, if one of them's in Canada, I mean, if you think, I mean, Canada's been really strict, as you know. I mean, they haven't opened
it's
up the border up yet,
to,
and they've still
it's
got
not up to the prime minister.
Yeah,
it's not up to the prime minister anymore. He's put it in the hands of the whatever the people are that run the provinces. So he has taken his hands off of that, and I think that might be a move as well for people saying, you know what, let's try an indoor activity. And, you know, make masks mandatory. They'll check your temperature like they do at the pool. When you come in, they give you a little temp check. They'll get
Oh, do they really?
At the pool, yeah. They check your temperature on the way in. Hmm. Yeah, and then they got the seats 6 feet apart. But that don't stop, you know, the ladies, the milfaroos looking over at the tee. I pull my sunglasses down and I say, can you play the country music any louder? And then I put them back up. If you saw that on Instagram, at Fred Toucher, quite an influencer, I was at the pool, I think over the weekend, and I got there, and they were just jamming, I'll put a boot up your ass. It's the American way. So, I don't know. That was Jaffe. Exactly. Okay. And I'm like, you guys are all, like, college kids. Like, why are you listening to this garbage? Like, I want to go back to the JCC where they played Israeli rap. So, they did. They played Israeli rap.
No, I know.
Who's an Israeli rapper?
Talked to him before.
I was almost swore. How the hell would I know? It just is blah, 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 blah.
Well, I mean, you were able to identify it as Israeli rap, and I was like, I thought you might know who the rapper was.
Here's how I got to that point. I'm at the JCC pool. There are maybe 100 people that have immigrated from Israel in their lifetime at the pool, and it is a language that I do not understand, nor have almost never heard. So I put two to two together, and I said, this sounds like Israeli rap. And sure enough, I was correct.
Could it have been Subliminal? Could it have been Tamer Nafar, Netchi Netch, The Shadow, Mookie, Tuna? These are all Israeli rappers.
Netchi Netch, the king of Israeli rap at the moment, Fred.
Really? Well, do you know of Blood of Abraham, a Jewish rapper from back when I was in college?
No, Netchi Netch's real name is Ravid Plotnik.
Well, that's like Seth Rogen's real name is... look up Seth Rogen's real name in the... during the break, it's pretty funny.
Booskills is in the game.
Booskills. Mooskills?
Booskills. B-O-O, skills.
Oh,
he scares people really well.
He scares me. Oh, you're rapping over there. Oh, by the way, someone I know just saw Modest Yahoo.
Oh, nice.
Like shopping or?
No. He was playing in a
subway station.
close. It was one of those things that you run upon, Like he was in a park.
Oh,
like,
oh
yeah, Andy Park. And then like you there was a lot of people there, but you like happen upon it. Oh yeah, he's got blonde hair. It's a whole thing happened with Modest Yahoo. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up in the old stackaroo?
All right, well, it sounds like Colin Kaepernick has a tryout set up. On top of that, could a legitimate superstar be coming to wait? The MLS. Yes, the MLS. A true international superstar.
So they're going to get Modest Yahoo?
Yeah, he's going to be doing the halftime, yes.
All right, very good. We'll have that for you. Hear the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Wallach, who brings us the stack?
I'm glad you asked, Fred. It's Window Nation. Buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
Wallach, right, I just heard you do a commercial for the Big Green Egg. Hey, you guys have that? Do you guys have that thing?
I do not. I have friends that do.
Okay. Oh, that must be nice. That makes everything you say about barbecue okay. I am friends with the Big Green Egg.
I've always wanted one of those, even though I've never eaten anything that came out of one. I've just seen TV shows where it's like, oh, dude, the Big Green Egg. You want to smoke meat the right way.
You should probably get it now. I mean, you'd be... Give you something to do for 5 hours.
I mean, because it's true. It's like this is something that it's like a 24-hour process for some of these things, right?
I don't know. I don't know. Apparently they're very popular and wonderful, but I just don't have the patience I don't have the patience to sit and do it. And if I did it, I'd go to someone else's house and Laos and love to hear what they got or taste what they got out of the Big Green Egg. By the way, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have got a tweet out now that's a GIF of SpongeBob SquarePants, who's gay, and someone of his friends, and they're sitting there like in contemplation, and Tampa Bay says, "Should we drop the Gronk photos this morning?"
I love what Bert said about that. Bert said, here's a hand for the Buccaneers PR department really dragging this stuff out. Yeah, so congratulations to them.
Shout out to the Buccaneers to get a ton of mileage out of a couple of run-of-the-mill photo shoots. All heroes wear capes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like, wow, look at that. He's in a uniform. I haven't seen that digitized before.
Yeah, the Tom Brady one came out, and you're like, is that even really him? Is that a picture of him in the jersey, or did you just kind of Photoshop this?
I know, but it made me so mad.
Oh, man, how awkward. I'm not used to this.
I'm like, this is my guy. Come on.
Speaking of Gronk, I watched the game on last night with the Gronkowski, even though last week I pledged that I wouldn't play it anymore because it's just screaming. It's screaming for an entire hour. But I saw that David Ortiz was going to be on it, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's something. Nope, I couldn't even do that. Like, Mary walked in the room as I was watching. She goes, "What are you watching?" She thought it was the news. She thought it was, like, people in pain. And it was just this show, and it doesn't stop, and it never lets up. So the big guests yesterday were David Ortiz and the host of Nailed It was the other special guest.
Creation's gotten very...
Yeah, so you've had Landon Donovan, the host of Nailed It, and Mark McGrath, Coolio has been there, and Macy Gray.
Yes. So much yelling and fun.
Mm-hmm. So,
that's my James Corden, by the way.
That is James Corden. By the way, 9 years ago today, this happened.
We got the cup. We got the cup. One last thing. I'd like to ask my liney right here, Marshy, to come over.
Yeah, you know what it is.
Everything we do, we do it big.
Thank you, Boston.
Thank you. That is before Marchand became all responsible, and that was for the next, what, 3 months, he just plowed his way through Boston.
Unbuttoned his shirt, got in his car, and drove away.
Yep, he would just, like, pull up to people on the street and, you know, walk into a, just park his car in the middle of the road downtown and then walk into a bar and then come out. Yes, he had a very good time until they made him go home.
That was the story, right? Is that somebody fight because everyone else had gone home. It was like, you know, 3 weeks had gone by and everyone had the cup and it was like, you know, they were kings of the town. But Marchand was still bouncing around. And wasn't the story that Peter Chiarelli had to sit him down and go,
yes,
Brad, go home.
Yeah.
Go home.
Like, go back to, like, Canada where you're from. Like,
right.
Get out
go
of town.
Go home. Stay out of the city, man. Nothing good can happen from here on out.
I don't think it was that strict, but I think you went, you know, all right, you've had a lot of fun. Maybe it would be good for you to go home for a little while and celebrate there.
Even at the beginning of that clip, how young does Patrice sound at the beginning of that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, his voice is changed. Listen to this.
We got the cup. We got the cup.
I mean, that is, oh, they grow so fast, don't they, Fred?
Mm. I mean, they really do. I mean, I remember my first year with season tickets, I believe, was Bergeron's rookie season. I mean, the two of us have just grown up together.
Mm-hmm.
Two crazy kids on the scene.
But that was 9 years ago today. That was the old duck boat experience. We saw the In Succession girl out in the crowd. Of course,
yes,
she made that
indeed.
Famous. That was great. I mean, obviously, and in my opinion, and I don't know if you agree, Fred, that was the best of all the championships. I mean, over the
past,
was easily the best parade. It was on a Saturday. The weather was perfect. It couldn't have. And then that one, like, seemed like the city was the most excited. And I know, John, I was not here for when the Red Sox first won that World Series.
That's the standard. But, yeah, after that, the Bruins one's right there.
Yeah. Because, to be honest, the Red Sox ones have not been that good. Yeah, the Red Sox ones have not been that good. That last one was kind of like – because, you know, the Patriots had just won a few, and the Red Sox won theirs, and it wasn't even that packed. It just – it didn't feel like a real parade.
There's no parade unless
there's James Corden.
Dame Judi Dench.
I know you love Dame Judi Dench. Dame Judi
Dench. She's such a wonderful person.
I'm sure she is absolutely wonderful. Well,
I'm married with children.
Colin Kaepernick is getting some look-sees from some different teams, and there's one that legitimately, according to everybody, and it seems to make sense, would be a really good fit. The Chargers, the first team to come public with the fact that Colin Kaepernick is on their summer workout list for the upcoming season. Anthony Lynn, the head coach, he said he fits their system pretty well during his media availability.
I haven't spoken with Colin. I'm not sure if where he's at as far as in his career, what he want to do. Colin definitely fits the style of quarterback for the system that we're going to be running. And I'm very confident and happy with the three quarterbacks that I have. But, you can never have too many people waiting on the runway.
And if you were an owner who was scared that you might get backlash from the president if you were to give Colin Kaepernick a chance, I guess he kind of squashed that last night because in an interview he was doing, he was asked about Colin Kaepernick and he said that if he could play, then they should give him a shot. How about that? So, I mean, after 3 years whether he's going to be, going to be any good. So,
they just drafted a quarterback, the Chargers, didn't they? They just drafted a guy in the top 10. Yeah,
they could use a good backup. Yeah. I mean, you're telling me Colin Kaepernick would not be a suitable backup? What's that?
Justin Herbert. Do I think that he's the guy they drafted, future quarterback?
Herbert. That's it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Herbert. Yes,
now, did you hear what owner has told his front office over the last 3 years? He had no trouble with them signing Kaepernick and bringing him in.
Bob Kraft.
Nope. Mark Davis.
Yes.
Good old Mark Davis. Yep.
Yes, I heard he is.
Who's their backup?
The chains.
Marcus Mariota is.
That's right. They got
Vegas is backup now. Yes.
Oh, that's right. By the way, Chris Sims is counting down his top 40 quarterbacks. So I know you've been like biting your fist, like saying,
"I actually saw it." It drove me mad.
It drove you batty, did it, Fred?
I mean, I want to have him on and just go, "Give me a break."
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Tom Brady at number 15.
Oh, please.
Poppycock. He's a hater. Drew Brees at 16. That's kind of funny. Drew Brees is at 16 on this list.
Yeah.
Josh Allen at 18. Who's Josh Allen ahead of? Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, Sammy D. He's ahead of Jared Goff. He's ahead of Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Nick Foles, Jameis Winston. Jared Stidham comes in at number 35 on his
list. I don't
think
that you would find a guy in the NFL who evaluates talent that would say Josh Allen is better than Sam Darnold. I think you would find it very, very difficult to find someone that would put them in the same kind of category. But you know what? Chris Sims, he's got me in. Now I got to know who's in the top 10.
He has Jimmy Garoppolo behind Josh Allen by two spots.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's shaking the tree.
Dan, book him. Because I need this guy to know I don't care for this.
We're going to give him two things, Fred. The what for.
I mean, I'm going to be like, hey, I don't agree with this at all. You're just trying to be, you're a hater.
Mm-hmm.
You hate New England. Stupid.
Hypocrite. Mm-hmm. He's a fraud.
Hypocrite. He's a fraud.
Well, Cristiano Ronaldo might be playing in the MLS.
Well, I hope that he doesn't come out and I faint and fall down the stairs, because he is someone who is hot.
This is what's called the phone it in and pay me money years. It happened with a couple other players who came over here, like David Beckham, I think, kind of did that. And so, yeah. So a couple other players have done this, but Ronaldo has been rumored to covet. After his contract is done with Juventus, which I think is in 2 years, he'll be 35 at the time, making a buttload of money by coming to the MLS.
Yes.
And
just like Wayne Rooney and Beckham, like you said before them.
Not even trying. Well, but you know what? Hey, I'd like to see that. Maybe when they launch the new stadium that the Revolution are going to eventually launch, they could have Ronaldo be there to do it.
As long as he does Rico Suave, I'm all in.
No, that's Gerardo.
Yeah.
Homestyle Spanish Cristiano cooking. Gerardo. If I eat it, I'd be puking. Yeah, I saw Gerardo at Club La Vila one time when I was about 12. That was good stuff. Oh, yeah.
I bet there wasn't a dry panty in the house.
There probably was not. Now, if you want to hear
about it, I'll be puking.
That's the best line. Homestyle Spanish cooking. If I eat it, I'd be puking.
Yeah, he's got to get out of there without having to dinner. Yeah, he's going to get out of there without having any dinner.
Now, if you want to hear one of the stranger stories that's going on right now regarding an athlete during the coronavirus, Pavel Datsyuk's been missing for a while, and now they have found out where he is. Now, Pavel Datsyuk retired about 4 years ago. He was the Detroit Red Wings. We all know this. He made great commercials, Fred. We've played them. So he's been playing in the Russia's KHL until the season was canceled. So he retired from here, but he ended up playing over in Russia.
Yeah.
And then the season was canceled in March because of the coronavirus. So if you want to know where he is now, for a while they couldn't find him. And this is a true story. Pavel Datsyuk is now holed up in a women's monastery with this rebel priest who believes that COVID-19 is a cover so Bill Gates can implant microchips in everyone. His name is Father Sergei, who's also Datsyuk's personal confessor.
Oh.
He is a guy who is awaiting trial for defying bans on public ministry and suspicion of inciting hatred. Under a previous name, he spent 13 years in prison for murder, and now he is running what some believe is a religious cult.
Why? Just because he murdered a guy?
Just because he murdered a guy.
Oh, boy. Now what? Now are you going to hold that over his head for the rest of his life?
So they said this monastery that they're in is something that he took over with armed guards standing on the outside, and Pavel Datsyuk is holed up with this guy since the coronavirus started.
Well, listen, I had problems.
I don't think joining a cult problem.
Yeah, that's
you've gotten to that.
No, I mean, the family got a little heated. We got a little cabin fever.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. Next, I mean, I thought about joining a cult led by some killer.
It would seem crazy at times.
Then, much to my chagrin, I found out that Manza was dead. Yeah, I thought he was still kicking in jail.
And finally, 45 years ago today, Jaws was released. Mm. Do you feel old now?
who the hell remember? I mean, I was a baby. I was not even 2 months old. Now, John, did you skip any college classes to see it?
No, I did not. I did not.
Hey, everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're member FDIC.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.